Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and for allowing us to celebrate this Sunday, the church anniversary, Lord. But it's not about the building. It's about you. It's about your goodness and your grace and all the wonderful things in your sustaining power that you've kept us and that you've helped us. And that, Lord, we're looking forward to years ahead, not just what you've done in the past or where we are presently, but what our future looks like. And we just thank you for that. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so we're going to talk today about the finish line. And as we celebrate our anniversary as a church, the thing I look at, you know, we support missions, you know, here in the U.S., in San Antonio, in Texas. We support missions overseas. But I think if I was to look at the past years, the biggest thing I can take away is where people are in their lives. And what I mean by that is as you continue your walk with the Lord, you're in a different place than you were a couple years ago. Your thinking is different. The things that used to bother you or the things that used to hold you back no longer hold you back. You're in a better place. And so when I celebrate that, when I think about, look what God's done for this person or for this person or for that person in the church, it's neat because you see there's progression, there's growth, there's things happening. You know, it's not just, I mean, numbers are important, but it's not just about numbers. It's about all the things that God is doing in your life. Amen? You know, I think about how he can sustain us, how he helps us, how progression grows. You know, as we are faithful to him, he'll help eliminate things out of our life that we don't need, even though we might want it. Right? And he gets us on the right path. So today we're going to talk about some of those things. So are you ready? Here we go. So the finish line. First and foremost, now there's only three things we're going to talk about. And they all start with the letter F. Okay? And it's not food. All right? It's not food. First is this. We want to keep fixed on the future. So we want to keep our eyes, our mind, our thoughts fixed on the future. Meaning, where are we going? In life, you know, we're headed somewhere. We talked this past week, I went and visited someone. Say, hey, you're on a path somewhere. You're headed in a certain direction. But the good news is you can determine where you go in life. You don't have to just float along. You know, dead fish float. Did you ever know that? It could be a dead fish and it still floats. When I was a kid, I wouldn't recommend doing this, but when I was a kid, I think I told you this story before, but I took an M80. You know what that is? It's like a firecracker, a big one. It's really like a quarter stick of dynamite. But my mother told me don't play with fireworks because you could blow off your hand. And I said, no, I can't. Because I won't play with anything that big. And so we had this park where they let off fireworks, and I would go, July 5th, I would go hunting for fireworks at all the ones that didn't blow up in this big, massive park that we had. And I found some M80s. And I heard that they were waterproof, the fuses. I said, this is going to be a great experiment. So I went by myself. Do you know why I went by myself? Because I didn't want anyone telling on me. So in case whatever happened. So I went by myself and I found some M80s and I lit them on fire and I threw them in this pond. And what happened? Nothing. It sunk to the bottom. And then all of a sudden, I was kind of disappointed. But all of a sudden I see this big concussion under the water. And then this big geyser of water, a gush of water, flies to the surface. And all these fish came floating to the top. And I just thought, this is a great way to go fishing. I was just a kid, and these were goldfish, but kind of large. So I realized, hey, dead things can float. Right? God doesn't want us to float through life. He wants us to be fixed on our future, to have a purpose. And so Isaiah 43 says this. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19 says, now this is the Lord speaking. He says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Now, how many of you have ever looked in the past over something? How many ever dwelled on something that was former? Former boyfriend, former girlfriend, former problem, former job, former anything, what was in the past. And it seems like it's easy for us to go back to the past. You know, like when my kids watch episodes of Little House on the Prairie, they go, I would like to live back then. I said, no, you wouldn't. I said, you don't understand. There's a lot of things they don't show you in the movie. For example, it'll take you a long time to get your food ready. It'll take you a long time to walk across the fields to school.
Yeah.
Take you a long time to come back. You don't have ice cubes. I mean, you ain't going to be sleeping in a really comfortable position. Lots of bugs. A whole bunch of stuff. It's going to take you a long time. But sometimes in our mind, we think the former is so great. And so when we're looking in the former, we're not looking to the what? The future. And here God tells his kids, forget the former things. Don't think about that anymore. Don't think about the past failures. You know, when I was a kid, I made some mistakes. Anybody ever make mistakes when you were a kid?
Yes.
And then the devil will tell you, you're no good, you can't do it, you're too weak. And you don't realize, you just kind of believe that. But you don't realize you made that mistake when you were like 6 years old, or seven, or eight. And now you've grown up and you know a lot more than you knew then. So now you know, well, if I was back then, I wouldn't do that again. But he uses the former things to try to put you down or hurt you or keep you from what? Your future. And God's telling you, he tells us, don't fix your eyes on the past, fix it on the future.
Amen.
Don't look at the former.
Right.
Look at the future.
Right.
You and my... When my dad went home to be with the Lord, that was a pretty tough day for me. But understanding that he's not in my past, he's in what? My future.
That's right.
I don't have to worry. I don't have to be sad. It's just like he's on another country and I haven't got to see him for a while. He's on a mission trip, or maybe I'm on the mission trip here. So we don't fix our eyes on the former things. We fix our eyes on what is coming, what is in the future. So here's an example. Philippians 3:13 says it this way. He says, Paul speaking. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Before we go, let me finish verse 19. The Lord said, I'm doing something new. It springs up. Don't you see it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in what was considered the wasteland. So sometimes, even in your life, if something looks like it's barren or empty, God said, I'm doing something new. You need to see it. You need to what? Look for it.
Amen.
You look at what he's doing. Don't look at what's been done.
Amen. Amen.
So when you're going through life, say, yeah, I made some mistakes in the past, but I don't look at them. I have to keep my eyes what? Going forward.
Yes.
To see
yes.
what God wants to do
yes.
for me.
Amen.
Have you ever, I'm just thinking, have you ever gotten sick? Kind of anybody? One time? Maybe twice? And the devil convinces you you're going to be that way forever? You know, like you can't get healed. It's just the way it is. And then he gets you to look in the past, and this is how good life used to be, but this is what your future is just going to be, dismal and dull. But with God, that's not true.
Yeah.
He said, even if something looks so bad or barren, he says, look what I'm going to do.
Amen.
He can bring life to it.
Yes.
He said, I'll send water. Remember the children of Israel going through the desert, and he says, it's a desert, but he still sustained them. He got water out of a rock.
Yes.
He dropped bread from heaven. So he's saying, look what I am doing. Look for it. Because I am doing something for you if you believe him to do it. And I remember speaking of that, looking at our situation, our circumstance, it may not seem so great, but he wants us to have a fabulous future. Amen?
Amen.
You have to fix your eyes. I have to fix my eyes on that future.
Yes.
That's in his word.
Yes.
One time, I remember I got really, I got poison ivy, poison oak, poison sumac. It got in my body. I didn't know what it was. But I had it so bad on my one arm, this arm, that it would drip like I was leaking when I was walking.
Wow.
And I had to wrap it up because when I went outside, there would be flies that would try to land on me. I'm not kidding. And it was so bad. I mean, it hurt. I was like, it was nasty stuff. So I'm believing God to get well. But the enemy is always there trying to convince you that you're going to lose your arm. Mm. And he's trying to get you to fix your eyes on the future he wants for you. Mm. And you can't look at what he wants for you. You have to keep your eyes on what the Lord wants for you.
Amen.
So he would bring thoughts to my mind like, oh, one arm isn't so bad. Mm. You know, just other people do it. And then you start seeing people that maybe have one arm. You say, see, they're still walking. They're fine. Mm. So you have to understand, you've got to keep your eyes fixed on your future.
Amen.
The bright future that he has for you.
Yes.
And this is the realm of our mind, our soul, what we think on. Paul in Philippians said it, well, of course, the Lord did heal me. Healing came. Amen. Praise God for that.
Yes.
But Paul says it this way, Philippians 3. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended. That means I don't know it all. But this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. I reach forward to those things which are before me. I press toward the mark. I press forward. I keep going forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. So he says, if you want to be perfect or complete, you have to think like this. Otherwise, God will have to show you how to think. I mean, if you don't think like this, God will have to correct you. He said, you have to think forward-minded. You have to think about tomorrow, about heaven. You have to think about God's got a bright future for me. It doesn't matter if you messed up your past. God can make your present okay. He can make it good. He can make it work out. And he can, if you walk with him, he can get it to where your future is wonderful. But you got to fix your eyes on him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You have to fix, you know, you have to fix your thoughts, your thinking, your soul, your emotions. Fix it on him.
Amen.
If you don't do that, you will fail. So this is not very cheerful. But that's the reality. The good news is you can control it. Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the good news. You can control what you think on. Yeah. So here Paul says, I purposely, this one thing I do. You just got to do one thing. And if you just had to do one thing, wouldn't that be great? He said, fix your eyes. Forget the past. Fix your eyes on what lays ahead of you, what lies ahead. He goes, because if you, now, we know, and I told you the story, my daughter's doing much better in driving. Thank you for all your prayers. She don't really look in the rearview mirror anymore when she's going forward. Now, the time when I struggled with that, I was in a car, you know, somebody hit me from the rear. And so you think, you know, okay, I'm okay. But you have this tendency when you're driving forward now, what are you always doing? Looking behind you to make sure no one's going to hit you. Mm-hmm. The problem is if I'm looking behind me so someone don't hit me, I could hit someone else.
Sure.
So I can't keep looking behind me. I have to look, what? Forward.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So we have to look forward to what God has for us in our future. We have to keep our eyes on Him. Otherwise, you know, we don't fix our eyes, we might become fearful or frustrated. What we're seeing, what's coming down the road, and you cannot allow yourself to become fearful or frustrated. If frustration kicks in, you're not in faith. You got anxiety, you got worry, you got all these things because you're frustrated. Why? Because you don't have your eyes fixed on your future. If, you know, this is, to me, this is an example of when you first start, say you first start dating. Like my wife and I, we first started dating, she would call me all the time. And I said, look, some other things to do here. No, it was before cell phones, you know. I'm at a payphone here. You got 10 minutes. Call me at this number. Otherwise, someone's going to want to come and use this payphone, and I won't be able to answer. But it was funny because you're courting or you're dating, and I remember we were talking on the phone late night, right? Pretty soon you wake up and you're still on the phone, and someone, you don't even know what time they fell asleep. But you're just so fixed in talking about that person, you're so interested in their lives and what they have going on, right? And we should remain that interested in God.
Amen.
And what
Amen.
He wants for us, because yes. He loves us.
Yes.
And He cares for us. Amen. So that's the first thing, right? Fix your eyes on the future. Second thing, be fervent to follow Him, to follow God. So if we're going to cross this finish line in life, we need to be fervent to follow Christ. And the fervent defined is having or showing great warmth or intensity of spirit, feeling enthusiasm towards something or someone. So if we're going to cross this finish line, we have to have a fervency. And you know that fervency can increase or what? Decrease. And I have a clue to help you get more fervent. It's just what you look at.
Yeah.
What you look at, you will look like.
Mm.
So if someone says, I don't know, okay, this is be real, right? Isn't it good to be real?
Yes.
I don't know what happened. I just did this. No, let's be honest. You didn't just do it. You were looking at it for a long time. And then the more you looked at it, the more you liked it, and then you what? Then you did it.
Yeah.
Because there's some things I don't look at and I don't have a problem with.
Yeah.
There's some foods, I just don't want to eat that. I ain't going to even look at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look at something long enough, I'm thinking, I want that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the car lot, the salesman, what are you doing? I'm just looking. He's, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Take your time. You look all day. We're open till 10 p.m. just for you. Because we want you to start looking and what? Liking.
Mm.
And then you start buying.
Mm.
And when it comes to this, the more you look at something, the more you will what? Like it. The more desire you have for something. If you want to stop something in your life, just stop feeding it. And it'll starve.
Yeah.
It'll go into famine mode. You know, it's like, you ever think, I couldn't do without that? Then you forgot all about it? Then you couldn't remember what you couldn't do without?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you quit feeding it. Mm-hmm. So if you don't feed it, you don't build that fervency or that fire or that passion for the thing. And what happens? It dies. So here, 2 Timothy says this, 1:6. He says, I put you in remembrance that you stir up or fan the flame, stir up the gift of God which is in you by putting the laying on of hands. And he says it this way, 2 Peter says, I think I should remind you, as long as I'm in this body, that you stir up
mm-hmm.
by putting into remembrance those mm-hmm. things that you've learned.
Yeah.
Stir up another way is you ever start a campfire, we want to go camping. You have this little match. and you start blowing on it, right? And you start fanning it. Mm-hmm. Well, when you fan it, what happens? Does it get smaller or bigger?
Bigger.
Bigger. And it gets hotter and it gets brighter. And here the Bible's telling us, hey, if you want to finish your course, you need to be fervent of spirit to follow him.
Mm.
So I'll give you some examples. I mean, look at this. Luke 14, 33 says it this way. Well, before we go there, let me just say this. I think it's important that if we're going to get somewhere with God, we got to be real with ourselves too.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. And say, Lord, like, remember I told you that we fall asleep, my wife and I were talking to each other? But that's when it was corded phones, you know. It was corded phones, so it wasn't a big deal. Now, we would talk before, when cell phones first came out, before we used headset or what have you. Man, my ear is hot. Whoa, why is my ear so hot? Man, feel that. My ear is hot. Because you're having the phone up to your ear for like an hour. All that electro, you know, beaming in your ear. And oh, God, change ears, man. Hold on, my ear is hot. Why'd your ear red? I was talking on the phone. Now I got to switch it to the other side. But what happens if I lose that fervency over time? She might call, and I may not be so excited to talk to her.
Mm.
Like, why do I don't want to talk right now. Decline. Call you later. Voicemail. Turn off the phone. But not so long ago, I would wait for her to call. I'd stare at the phone. She's going to call. She's going to call. I'm excited. I'm expecting. I don't want to miss it. And then over a period of time, my fervency has waned. It's become smaller.
Mm.
Why? Well, because things in life happen. Kids, chores, job, blah, 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 right? Things in life happen. So my fervency can be affected. I'm not as fervent to follow as I used to be or to have that friendship. So what do I need to do? I need to remind myself, wait a minute. You know, like, sometimes wives will, I don't know if husbands, or maybe husbands ask wives this question, I don't know. I don't. But sometimes wives would ask the husband, like, honey, do you think we're as what? What do you ask me? Do you think we're as...
Do you think our marriage is strong?
Yeah, do you think our marriage is strong? I'm like, of course. Why wouldn't it be?
She's like, well, guys are just like that. Yes,
because
or no.
I think, yeah, it's fine. I'm fine. If I'm fine, you gotta be fine. I'm the issue here, not you. So that's a clue that, why? Because we need more passion or life, fire in our marriage. I said, we should have thought about that before all the kids. That passion is what created the problem. Let's talk about this. So, but with the Lord, we can get so busy serving him
yes.
that we forget to keep that passion or that fervency for him.
Yeah.
Right? We want to be fervent and passionate. We don't want to be frozen.
Yeah.
Right? We don't want to grow cold.
Yeah.
So if there's something, like if my passion for the Lord isn't where I want it to be, what do I need to do? I need to start looking at his word again. I need to start spending time with him. Right? I need to have a heartfelt meeting with him. Why? Because I'm just trying to fan that flame, that fervency. Because I don't want to grow cold toward him. Amen? Right, so we're talking about anniversary, right? Well, if you want, like, coming up, my wife and I will be celebrating 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I got married when I was 7, but that was a cultural thing. So there's all kinds of things in that time period that fervency can get cold, and you got to bring it back and work on this and work on that, fan it, right? You just got to work at it. It's a lot of work. But I'm not saying just a lot of work for me. I'm saying it might be a lot of work for her. But it's a lot of work. So you have to work at it, but you're building something. You know, if we say we celebrate church anniversary 4 years. Well, if you want to celebrate year 8 or 9, you have to work on some things constantly.
Yes.
Right? Not in fear, but in faith.
Yes.
Yes. You know, how do you build muscle? You want to ask me? Go ahead, tell me. Come on. It's just being consistent. You guys know that. Just be consistent. Every day, doing a little bit of something good is going to, in the long run, do something good.
Amen.
Amen. Be consistent. That's why you come to this church, you read your chapter every day.
Amen.
Well, that's pretty hard. No, it's not hard. It's helping you get stronger.
Amen.
Right? It's helping you avoid a lot of problems in life. Amen. So, third point. We're just about done. So, first thing was, what was the first one? You remember? Fixed on your future. Right? And second was be fervent to follow. Mm-hmm. And the third one is be faithful to finish.
Amen.
Or to do. And this is going to be, this one has to do with our actions or our body, what we actually do. Mm-hmm. So Hebrews 10:25 says this way, don't forsake assembling yourselves together, but exhort one another more and more as you see the day coming to a close. Mm-hmm. So that means, now here's some statistics you might be surprised. I want you just to think about this. Now, I want us to be thinkers. Yeah, we're spiritual, but I want us to also think with our mind. And you remember last week, I'm going to throw this in here. Last week I got... We talked about the vaccine thing. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, it's just amazing to me because I actually got a call last Wednesday. Okay, here's the deal. I said, if I had a daughter, and I do, and right. When the doctor said, we should vaccinate her with this vaccine, HPV, I said, no. And the doctor said, why? It's good for, we can prevent cervical cancer. And I said, no. Because, so what if she gets a STD? Yeah, this is real world stuff. You know, just. I said, well, she won't. I said, because she won't participate in premarital relationships. I said, and the dangers of the vaccine are greater than the odds of getting that STD or cervical cancer. So the doctor wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She lost her bonus. I don't know. I don't know what the deal was. Mm-hmm. But let me give you the odds again, just so you know. And you can look this up. This isn't, I'm not making this up, but I just want you to think. So out of 100,000 people, 3%, on the high side, 3% would contract cervical cancer, 3 out of 100,000. Okay? If you take the statistically, CDC statistics, not mine, if you take the Gardasil vaccine, 86 out of 100,000 will die. Okay, so let me rephrase that. 3 out of 100,000 could get cervical cancer. 86 out of 100,000 will die if you take the vaccine. So your odds of dying is almost 30 times greater than getting cervical cancer. And in Denmark, they've done a study where 1 out of 500 girls have had severe side effects from this disease. You can look
vaccine.
It up. From the vaccine. So why do I say that? I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm saying you got to think about, you just have to think about, what are the odds? What am I really being told? What am I believing? And why am I believing what I'm believing? Mm-hmm. Who told me that? Well, if God told you he loves you and he gave his life and he proved it, then you could what? You could believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You could count on him to help you.
Yes, yes.
So, faithful to finish. If here's a statistic, The average full-time church goer attends church twice a month. Full-time church goer goes to church twice a month. You think, what are you thinking? This is a problem. Statistically, someone says, you go to church all the time? Yes. How many times? Twice a month. You're like, that's 50%, man. That ain't like full time. What if you got 50% on your grades in school? Is that good?
No.
No. What if you showed up for work 50% of the time? Is that good? No. What if you put 50% of the tires back on the car and you fixed them? Is that good? No. But for the average churchgoer, they go twice a month. They call it full time. The part-time people go once every 2 months. So you're thinking, there's a problem here, right? Because the Bible says, don't forsake that. That's something you got to do, is go to church, right? Why? Because not only can you receive, but you can be a blessing.
Amen.
You develop relationships.
Yes.
It's key. It's important. Okay. Jesus said this, Luke 16:10, who is faithful in the least will also be faithful in much. And he said, whatever you do to the least of these, you've done it to what? To me. So he's saying what you do for him, how you serve him, is how you serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you don't serve your brothers and sisters in Christ because you're only there half the time, then he would say that's not being faithful. True? I mean, if you just went to work, you wouldn't get perfect attendance if you went to work 50% of the time. Oh, guys, come on, you can smile. I mean, you're here. It's okay. This is for all those who aren't here. It's okay. Just relax. Smile. All right. So, and then finally, I want you to think about this. Think about this question. When he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, that you did, you've been found, what? Faithful. God isn't so concerned about who you are. It's not the who in you, it's the do in you. It's what you do. Yeah, I'm so smart, I'm so... No, it's what you do for him that counts. So work on, if we're going to be faithful, we want to be faithful to finish the thing that he called us to do, our actions, right? We want to keep our eyes fixed on our future. Amen? We want to be fervent to follow him every day. I'm going to just keep plugging away, taking one step, keep making progress. I'll be faithful to finish what he called me to do. And I know on this end, it may not seem like a great big deal, but when you get to heaven and he says, well done, my good and faithful, it's going to be a big deal, guys. Big, big deal. Because not everyone is faithful. But you can be faithful to do what he says to do. How do we do that? We fix our eyes on the future, right? Fervent to follow him. And we get excited about it. I know people, they'll drive, they'll wait in line for a sporting event. You talk about fervency. You talk about people with passion. You're talking about people who go shopping after Thanksgiving. And they're waiting in line for those doors to open. They're trampling people to get the TV or the toaster. They're trampling them. Why? They got some passion. They're fervor. They're fervent. And when it comes to church, people go, maybe, I'll see. They don't know. You don't know what he's got planned for you. And he says, if you would change your, and don't tell me people, I couldn't be bad. Yes, you are. It's like, you can be whatever you want to be. I could say, have you ever had passion for something? You stayed up all night playing a video game or conquering something? Yeah. Well, then you could use that same passion for God. You just have to feed it. Fan it. And then do it. Follow him. And I'm saying that because I want you to hear that voice when he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, he used the word well done. That means you did something. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I got to do what I got to do for him. You understand? You got to do what he's told you to do. Don't get all caught up with what so-and-so is doing. He's like, it don't matter what so-and-so, what are you going to do? Amen? All right. So you think about that. All righty. How can we be faithful if we don't even show up? How can you help me eat all this food if you're not here? Can't. Amen? But you're here. So you can help eat the food. Be faithful to get full, to fill yourself up. All right. All right. With that in mind, let's close in prayer. Let me say this. I'm not trying to make this hard, heavy thing. But I want you to realize you got a part to play in you being faithful. It's not all up to God. He wants you to be faithful. Amen? And you fix your eyes on him. You follow him. Be excited about it. And if something's holding you back, don't feed it. You know, like my mom stayed with me. She'd always feed the cats when they came to the door. First there was one cat, then a second cat. I'm like, Mom, she goes, what's the little kid? I don't know why they're coming. I said, because you keep feeding it. If you stop feeding it, it'll go next door. It'll go somewhere else. Well, if you want your eternity to be wonderful and fabulous, start feeding yourself God's word. Don't starve. Feed it. Feed that passion for him. You may not feel like it. You may not want to. But who cares? Make it happen. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer again. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, thank you for helping us fix our eyes on our future. That means your plan and the bright and fabulous plan that you have for us. And to follow you with fervency. Not with weakness, not being sorry and lame in our life, but with fervent passion, Lord. Fanning that flame for you so that we can be faithful to finish, faithful to do the thing that you called us to. Not fearful. Not frustrated, but faithful. And we'll have a fun, enjoyable life. And we just thank you for it. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.